生命。
All right. Well, welcome back, everyone. Lisa just sent a note in the chat. Her dog has had a seizure, so she's got to clean him up. So that's hard. Yeah. So our thoughts are with her there. Okay. So a couple of things I want to make sure we get done here is I want to, kind of see what your reaction to the readings was. And if you didn't do the readings, then you will do the readings and you can just listen to the discussion and you can still ask questions, even if you didn't read it. Okay. And I want to stress this about the readings. When I give you readings, and you won't get them every week, I am not expecting you to memorize the reading. I'm not going to give you a quiz afterwards. This thing we call meditation is literally just a process. And as you start to read stuff, as you start to do stuff, and all of you have experience, Steve, you changed your jet. I just noticed that. I like this one better. I want to sit there with you. Okay, that was a squirrel moment. There I went. There my mind went. Okay, so at any rate, what I'm trying to tell you is, let me see if I have my little thing here. Okay. When we're learning new information, if we have nothing to relate it to, it's kind of like this. It doesn't stick. It's like it's just two things and there's nothing to stick to. Every time you read something or hear something, it puts like a little drop in there. And then the next time you hear something similar, it has Velcro. Oh, and it sticks. It just starts to stick. And pretty soon, over time, the more you hear, the more you know, it like sticks, right? And it's just a part of you. It's just a part of you. It's hard to even tear it apart, right? So when I'm giving you these readings, if it's something I expect you to memorize, which I can't even think of anything I would have that be, but I'm going to preserve the right to do that if I need to. It's really, I'm just trying to give you Velcro. So these readings are to read and absorb, and something in there will resonate. Something in there will go, oh, but everything else, at least you heard it once. And I think somebody mentioned when they were talking about the readings, they were very dense. And here's the beauty of this path is the first time I read any of these books, it was dense. It was like, oh my gosh. I read them today. And it's like reading a first grade reader, you know, go dog, go, see Jane run. It's like that familiar now, right? And you will get there too. So yes, in the beginning, it will be dense. Yes, in the beginning, it's going to be, whoa, fire hose. But I'm not asking you to memorize it. Okay, so I hope that takes the stress out of it. It's just more just setting up the Velcro so that over the course of your life, all of this will have something to land on. And it's literally restructuring the way we live. Right? I mean, meditation gives you a new way of being. I'm holding up pieces of Velcro. But it does. And they become more and more internalized and more a part of you and more natural to where it will be hard to even remember. Oh, there was a time where I actually didn't know this, you know? So with that said, there are a couple of things I want to point out in the readings, but I'd be curious to know any comments you have. Like, oh man, I just love Kriyananda's style, or oh my God, that guy is too all over the board for me. I like the mindfulness in plain English better, or, you know, just something. Anybody be willing to start us off? Kelsey, yeah.
Okay. Mine is a thought, but it's also like a philosophical question. I've been heavy into the mindfulness in plain English. Mm-hmm. And what I keep coming back to is trying to reconcile. He talks a lot about this is not me, like this is not mine, like not identifying with these little pieces of our experiences. But I guess what I'm having trouble reconciling is like this idea of the immortal, like the immortal self versus like no self, you know, like how do I hold both of those things at the same time?
Okay, that's a big question. And where and why do you want to reconcile that question?
I think it's that I'm feeling attached. It's like, I don't want to give up everything. You know, I don't want to give up that my emotions mean something. And I don't know, I guess I'm feeling attached to that idea of self and like that there is something that I can hold on to.
Oh, that was a beautiful answer. That was a beautiful answer. And how about this? There's so many ways I could answer that. I'm going to just tell a story. And I'm going to leave all the other stuff out and just see how you relate to this story. So that picture that Agnieszka has behind her of Yogananda, right? Which hopefully someday, you know, at some point in here, I'm going to ask you guys to read an autobiography of somebody, right? And some people will read autobiography of a yogi and go, that's it. I'm in. Oh, right. And others are going to read autobiography of a yogi and go, oh my God, I couldn't even get through the first chapter. Right. And there's somebody else you're going to read that you're going to resonate with. So this is not I don't expect all of you to resonate with Yogananda. However, Yogananda, the way he explained this to his students was he said that when he went into samadhi, now samadhi is at place where we are, it's total union, the no self, right? That's that place. All of this work we do is to find that place of absolute freedom, freedom from the thoughts, freedom from the emotions, freedom from all of this. And there's literally pure awareness and bliss and absolute feeling of unity. Okay. Now that's what I've experienced. And somebody might say that's the outer fringes of samadhi. So I may not be able to tell you what the exact center is, but I'm telling you the fringes are lovely, right? And, but Yogananda said, it was interesting. Even when I was in samadhi, I was still Muktananda. And Muktananda was his childhood name. Even when he was in there, he was still there. He didn't dissolve. And I have found that to be a very pithy, concise thing to hold on to. Does that help?
It does.
So let's leave it there for now, because that's a really big question. And what I would rather do, especially if you're talking about in the context of I'm attached to these identities of me, mm-hmm. you know, let's get through the NETI technique, which we'll be bringing on board, you know, towards the end of April, May. We're going to be working with attachment and resistance over April and May. Let's work with those and then come back to the question. So if you would be so kind as to write the question down mm-hmm. and make a note that we want to come back to that in May. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really fun. So.
Yes, I definitely want to address that question. I mean, I think I'm right there with you trying to understand all of that. I can't even explain it. So you did a great job even asking the question. Because the one thing that stuck with me, the whole nothing is permanent, right? And all the change, I mean, as much as you know that, when you start really thinking about it, about every aspect of it, right? I started going down rabbit holes and wanting to know more and more and more and more. And so I'll have to start writing more questions down like that. But I found the readings perfect. They answered a lot of questions for me.
Lovely, lovely. Yes, and you know what? This is your chance, right? You've got me. There's only 10 of you, right? So if you're reading, you have questions, write them down and bring them. You know, every class from here on, we're going to have time for this. Well, maybe not every class, but most classes will have time for this. Yeah. Because we don't have time in our 3 hours on a Sunday or our, you know, if we have a back to back to actually, I can't teach you all of it. It's in the books. It's in these places, right? And so some of it I'm going to, trust to the books or the videos to give you. But when I do that, it's with a clear understanding that if you have questions, bring them back. Bring them back. Because that's what I'm here for, right? So thank you, Kathleen. Anybody else? Agnieszka, yeah.
I want to kind of talk a little bit about what Kelsey started, this whole theme about the body. But when I was reading Kriyananda's book, I'm a little somewhat familiar with his teaching, so this was like, yes, yes, yes. And what I loved about the girl disciple, the young girl disciple, is that she told the guru, she requested something from him. She was not afraid to say, I'll do it, but on my terms. And you need to respect that. So what you're talking about, it's our own journey, and just let it unfold as it is, having that trust. And also, I guess, setting boundaries even for the teacher, which I would never do. Maybe someday, but anyway.
No. I'm going to take that back for you. I'm going to tell you. This is a day of stories. I don't often tell stories, but I'm going to tell you another story. Because that's such an important point. I don't know. I'd been studying with Kriyananda for probably, you know, 10 years, right? In-person retreats. And it was his last retreat he did with us before he moved back to France permanently. And we didn't have another live retreat with him before he died. And it was a time for something and questions and everything, whatever it was. And I remember I would always, before I would ask him a question, I wouldn't question. I wouldn't push back, nothing. And I would get nervous and I would get, I would be like, oh, my whole body would be adrenaline in, right? And asking this question. And I asked a question and there was none of that. And it was clear to the point. It was just short. And there was nothing. It was just a question I was asking of an equal almost. Oh, so whatever the question was, I asked it. And he literally, he didn't even answer the question. The first thing he did, he just looked at me and he said, good job. Good job. Because it wasn't important what the question was. The important was that I got over that adoration, scared, all of that. And I was able to just, you know, yeah. In that, so Agnieszka, I know. I love that story. That story literally makes me cry because I always feel like I'm balance. I'm going to cry when I say this because that's how I feel like I'm balance on the other side of the river. And Kriyananda's calling and I'm like, wait, because I've always felt that there is a part of me. I'm not like all the other disciples. I'm not like them. And that story touched me so deeply. It still brings tears to my eyes when I feel like, so wonderful.
So when I kind of read, well, I got to my homework yesterday in the last minute kind of. So I started reading the mindfulness book, and I was so self-judgmental. Like, I cried, like, I'm not doing this and not doing that. And I'm just so awful. And when we got to the physical body, I just went full force. Of course, you know, my nails are getting brittle and my skin is, I mean, all these, this almost like hatred towards my physical body, which was, oh my God, where is that coming from? So I almost want to, have, okay, so I'm going to completely, what's the word? Reject my body, my humanness, and go for the God consciousness. Like, it's not, somehow either this or that. And what you asked, Kelsey, you know, how can we embrace both? And maybe it's that earth life and spiritual life balance that I'm having obviously trouble with. It's like either you're either holy or you're a, you know, you just go and party and drink and do crazy stuff. How can you find joy and pleasure in life while being meditative and not holy, but you know, a spiritual being? So that's how what it did to me, the reading.
So I'm going to comment on that, because that's a very real place, isn't it? And we tend to think that God consciousness, let's put that in quotes for whatever that means to you. Okay. Cause I really don't use the word God. Those of you who've studied with me, that's not a word I use, because the word God, what I learned from Kriyananda and with my Tibetan studies, the word God is so limiting. It's so limiting. And what is that reality with a capital R that's out there is literally beyond our comprehension. With this mind, we can touch it with experience, right? And I've tasted enough of it to know that this idea, it's like, if this was the God of my youth right here, it's like, oh my gosh, it literally is just this little thing right here. And there's this much more. And what's beyond that? I don't know. I haven't gotten there yet, right? So when we use God in this context, let's make sure we're using it in as the meaning of understanding the creative force. Anyways, that's enough of that. So this is what was told to me, which helped me to navigate this balance that you've talked about, Agnieszka. Because it's very seductive to think, I want to be in God consciousness. I want to live in unconditional love. I want to be this, you know, I want to live in that space and function in that space. And this is not me telling you this. This is more than one teacher saying this. You cannot function on the earth plane if you're in that other zone. You can't. If you're going to be constantly in that other zone, that other consciousness, then you need other people to function for you on the earth plane. For most of us, learning to live in this world with the compassion, the safety, the trust, the feeling of connection, the living with unconditional love, for most of us, this is the ground where we're actually, it's like going to the gym. Some people call it earth school. You know, find your metaphor. It's like, I've come to the riding rink to learn how to ride a horse, and, you know, and I've come to the gym to learn how to get stronger. You come to earth school to learn certain things. And it's easy. This is not my teaching. This is like, bring this to you from other people. It's easy to sit, well, not that easy, but to be on a mountaintop away from all the people and settle your mind and have your emotions balanced and be equanimous, right? Come into the earth plane, into the world with children, spouses, partners, jobs, politics, government, family. The reason is we sit in the mountain is to learn how to come back here and find out how much we learned. We sit in the mountain. All of us, if you believe, you don't have to believe in reincarnation, but whether you think of it, you've had moments in your life where you've touched that equanimity, or whether you've had lifetimes where you've been that monk in that monastery filled with love and equanimity. You come back out here and you find out really how balanced are you? If all it takes is for somebody to leave the top off the toothpaste and you're like in orbit, we got a little bit more to learn, right? And so this is what I love about the Kriya system. The earth life is our spiritual life. It's testing us. How well have you mastered unconditional love? How much have you mastered non-attachment? How much have you mastered non-resistance? Oh, you're all upset because the dishwasher didn't get emptied? You filled it, nobody else emptied it, and you're upset about that? Maybe we've got a little bit of resistance or attachment going on, right? I mean, and that's the easy ones. Try dealing with betrayal. Try dealing with death or job loss. You know, those are the big ones. And so can we love enough to come into the earth plane here and still love when somebody hurts us, when somebody betrays us, when somebody hates us, when somebody, you know, what do you call it at work when somebody takes credit for your work and then they get the promotion, right? I mean, this is the real stuff that tests how well are we doing at cultivating unconditional love, compassion, strength, courage, right? So to me, this is why I named it. Part one is chop wood, carry water. And then, of course, I started teaching about the Ishtar, but that's okay. Chop wood, carry water. We're going to do that in April and May. Part two is, I forget what I called it, but it's basically you're going to touch something beyond you. Hopefully by the retreat, there'll be some experience that you know there's more. If you transcend this everyday awareness of emotion and resentment and frustration and feeling stuck or whatever it is, right? The word is dukkha. It means I'm just not quite satisfied. They say in the Buddhist system, they say all is suffering. Well, the word for suffering is dukkha, D-U-K-K-H-A. But it actually means unsatisfied, discontent. And so when we find that place where we can transcend the dukkha, right? You touch that place that is more. And this experience right here, you bring that back and we come back and it's once again, chop wood, carry water. But can I chop wood, carry water in a different way now? Now somebody leaves a top off the toothpaste. I just put it back on. Somebody doesn't unload the dishwasher. I just unload it. Somebody doesn't want to do what you don't want to do. You go, okay, well, what do you want to do? And you do what they want to do. And there's no feeling of like, I don't matter or nobody's paying attention to me because we're whole. Right? So this process is a process where we experience all of this, whoa, of this plane. And then we connect with something. We know there's more. We realize, oh, I'm not that emotion. I'm not that thought. These experiences are here. They're here. They're karma to teach me. The whole purpose of karma is to help you realize who you really are. That's the purpose of it, right? It's not a punishment. And so, and then we come back and we engage in our world now with an awareness. Oh, okay. My son didn't call me for Mother's Day. Okay. Oh, look, my feelings are hurt. You know, okay. Can I still love him and understand why he didn't call me? Or am I going to get pissed off and resentful and I don't want to talk to the fucker ever again? Right. Right? It's like now we're engaging in real life with this other awareness and our life becomes our practice. Our life becomes our spiritual path. And I hope that helped. I hope that helped to clarify some of that, Agnieszka. Okay. So, all right. It's 10:09. So for those of you who don't have the reading, don't worry. You don't have to say a word because I want to tell you a couple things. This was in the reading. Two things. in Kriyananda's book, he talks about namaste, the word namaste. And he talks about how there's the central channel, which we talked about earlier, the Sushumna. And there's the left side of our awareness, which he calls the lunar, which is the subtle energies, the stuff you can't touch that's inside us, right? And then there's the right side, which is the stuff that's out here that's just data driven. It's just logic. It's pink folder, you know, box on floor, box is heavy. Oh, you know, I'm not upset with the box. Box is heavy. I need a little cart to help move it. It's not. There's no internal dialogue and turmoil over, oh my God, I'm not strong enough to lift this box. What's wrong with me? You know, it's just, there's a box. It's heavy. I need something to move it. Internal left is, oh my God, it's too heavy. I'm out of shape. I'm so, you know, what's happening to me? I'm deteriorating. And so left is that internal, left is the right is the external. On a very basic level, we'll get much more nuanced about that over the course of the training. But both of them, neither one of them is the answer. The answer is when the two come together, they don't, and I'm not sure that he says it the way he taught it in the book, they don't cancel each other out. They don't merge. The two of them create a field that allow you to slip into the Sushumna and experience something that's neither one or the other. But it takes both of them, us balancing both sides of that, to be able to come into the Sushumna, which is, when you're in Sushumna consciousness, call that God consciousness, samadhi, that place. So when we do namaste, and that's what he said, is he talked about how we have these ideas of they're worshiping the sun god. They're up, their arms are like this, and they're worshiping the sun god. And he goes, no, that's not it at all. What they're doing is they are recognizing that there is a channel that goes through your chakra system, that goes up through your thousand-petaled lotus here. There's a channel of energy. And what we're doing is we're bringing the left and the right together so we can ascend. So when we pray, when we do namaste, anytime we do this, and that's universal, right? We are bringing this side of our being into balance, this side of our being into balance, and then we are allowing them both to, Kriyananda used the word collapse, open up the portal into the Sushumna where we are balanced, equanimous, joyful, compassionate, loving, and whole and connected. So namaste. Namaste. So from now on, when we do namaste at the end of a class, right? Do it with that. Oh, this side of my being, I'm bringing them into balance so that I might ascend and experience Sushumna consciousness. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. So, there was one other thing I wanted to cover, which touches on what we're going to talk about, what we're going to work on during April and May, which is this story of Aso. Did y'all read the story? And so here's the thing. That's the official story out of Zen Bones, I think it's called, which, you know, it's a book that you kind of have around, and it's got these great stories. Half of them I don't understand. But this one, what you will learn is you'll start to tell these stories in your way, right? So when I tell this story, I embellish it a little bit, because this is how it is in my head. It's like there's this young couple. Young kids, right? And they just love each other. And of course they start playing around, right? Because that's what kids do. And next thing they know, she's pregnant. But this is like decades and centuries ago, right? Where this kind of stuff just couldn't happen. But she's obviously pregnant. And so she can't bear to tell her parents that it's this young man, because they would hate him, right? So she tells them that it's the monk in the monastery at the top of the mountain who got her pregnant. And they're incensed and they tell the rest of the villagers and everybody's up in arms. How could he? Baby's born. They trundle up the mountain. Bang, bang, bang. Monk comes and answers the door. Yes, yes. How could you get this girl pregnant? How could you? This is your baby. You take responsibility for it. And he's like, oh, aso. And he just, okay, all right. I mean, he knows what happened, right? But he's just, okay, all right. Takes the baby, cares for the baby, raises the baby. Now, hopefully every one of you are thinking, if someone did that to me, I'd tell them to go get out. I didn't do it. I would sit there and defend myself to the end of the earth to say, I didn't do this. I didn't do this. But in his wisdom, it's like, ah, so, okay. Raises the baby. Biggie gets to be around 2 years old because, you know, 2 years old is right before they're saying no, but it's when they're still so freaking cute because they're walking and toddling and they're saying your name and all this, right? Totally cute. Girl can't stand it anymore. Little boy, young man can't stand it anymore. They see their little guy. They're like, oh man. And so they go to the girl's parents and they confess and they say, oh no, no, no. We really love each other. And that's our baby up there. We really want to be married and be together and have our baby. And the parents go, oh, well, we have to go get that baby back. And so the village comes with them and they go back up to the monastery. Bang, bang, bang. And they say to them, that's not your baby. That's our baby. We want our baby back. Boom. And the monk goes, so, and he gives the baby back. Now, if it was me and I'd spent 2 years falling in love with that little baby, I'd go, get out of here. You didn't stay up all night with this baby while it was when it was a baby. You didn't deal with the teething. You haven't fixed all those diapers. You, this is my kid. Get out of here. And we'd go to court and I'd try and keep custody of the kid, right? But no, this is the wisdom of the story. Life is going to throw shit at you. Sometimes it's just not fair. Doesn't seem fair. Equanimity is being able to take whatever comes your way and go, okay, my son just left the water on in the tub and it just flowed down through my ceiling into my newly remodeled kitchen and now I have to deal with this. Non-equanimity is like, God damn it! I told you how many times you can't pay attention to anything. You, ADD is ruining all of our lives. How come you couldn't turn the pot water off, right? Equanimity is like, let's just deal with the situation. This is what's in front of me. Let me deal with it. Not being equanimous is let me blame somebody. Let me make them feel this big. Let me resist this reality. Let me be attached to the reality that I want. And so as we go into this next phase, we've got our Ishta now. So we've got it with us. And now we're going to move into more the nuts and bolts and the nitty gritty of meditation. Mindfulness, in Kriyananda's book, he mindfulness is the beginning. You got a whole book on mindfulness, right? But mindfulness are the fundamental practices that we need. Take us into deeper levels of meditation. And the most important skill you're going to learn as a meditator is there's only two things that are the source of all dukkha, the source of all suffering. And you know them, that I just told you. Resistance and attachment. Resistance and attachment. So our path from here on, we got our Ishta. We got somebody who's on our team, who's on our side. And the next step of the journey is to start to recognize, what am I resisting? What am I attached to? And mindfulness is that entry point of paying attention, noticing what's going on. And none of you are new to this. So I'm going to really encourage you as we go through this to allow yourself to go a little deeper. Go a little deeper. Okay. Really, what am I resisting? It shows up in the body. It starts in the body. What is that resistance about? What are you attached to? this is sacred work. Okay. But this is your path to freedom. I didn't make this path up. This is the path. Okay. So what I've given you for homework is I recorded two meditations for you over the weekend. One is called Ishta Smile and one is called, I think, Ishta Blessing. And Darcy will post them on your page. And is that, we're considering what I could do, if there is there anybody that it would be most useful for you to just download the audio of the meditation, that would be easier than trying to just access it from the website? Some of you, yes? Okay. Then what we're going to do is we're going to give you the Zoom link to the recording. And you will have permission to download it. And you can download it just as an audio file. You can download it as a video, but that's just going to take up a lot of, storage space. But you can download the audio, put it on your phone, put it on your iTunes, put it on whatever you got. Because what I would like you to do every day is to do one of the Ishta meditations. You've got the one online. The one we did this morning, there's a version of it. It's called Ishta Blessing. And then there's a short little 5-minute one that is just getting your Ishta to smile at you and bathing in the blessing of that smile. And my recommendation would be to do that one, the 5-minute one, to a point where you know it. It's really simple. And this is my suggestion, is when you lay down in bed at night, as you're laying down, do that meditation as you're falling asleep. It doesn't take long. Once you know it, it'll take you can do it in a minute or two. When you wake up, before you get out of bed, do that meditation. And then anytime, get to where you can do it so easily that you can access it in the middle of your day just with a thought. The Ishta Darshan is around 11 minutes. It's a little longer. It's beautiful. It's the one we did this morning. But if time is an issue, which, it is, then do the 5-minute one a few times till you get the patterning, and then just do that. At least do that every day. Okay. All right. See, I think 3 hours are going to be plenty of time, and then it's not enough time. But I think that's, let me look through I'm going to bring the homeworks up on the screen so we can make sure see if there's any questions about it. Okay, let's try this. Do you see this?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So here's how it works. Homework is more like reading and studying, thinking. Sadhana is your meditation practice. That's the difference. Sadhana is your spiritual practice. That's what it means. So, and we'll correct this and send it. It's supposed to say weeks 3 and 4. That's a technical issue. Your main practice, number one, is to be kind, gentle, and understanding with yourself. Right? You're going to continue looking for your spot. If you haven't found it, just keep looking. When I've moved into houses, sometimes it takes me 6 months to find my spot. Okay. So just keep looking. Looking for a time of day that works best for you. And I'm going to suggest that you start talking to your Ishta. What this means is during your day, it's like any of the questions like Kelsey had, Agnieszka had, Kathleen had, Lisa had, you go, oh, Ishta, this is really hard for me. I'm not comfortable going down this road. Oh, Ishta, I'm so confused. What is this ultimate reality? Ishta, how am I supposed to, I don't want to give up my emotions and my identity. And just talk to your Ishta. Just talk. Just get in the practice of starting to form a connection and a relationship with your Ishta. Okay. And it doesn't have to be words. It can just be with feelings and thoughts, but anyways, that's what I'm going to ask you to do. Okay. I'm trying to set us up so that in August for the retreat, you guys have everything in place to really maximize the experience. And this connection with your Ishta will be important. And then your meditation routine for the week is simply, all I want you to do is sit, say the invocation, which we never did. do one of the Ishtar meditations and close with a blessing. That would be your formal practice. If this is not going to work for you, then at least do it before you go to bed at night or when you wake up in the morning. Try not to let a day go by where you are not having some kind of formal session with your Ishtar. That sounded weird. Okay. Questions on that? No? Okay. So this is your homework. Can you see that? Did the screen change? Yes. Okay.
Karen, one question. In terms of the three Ishtar meditations we have, you're going to give us two more sound files, the Ishtar smile and the Ishtar blessing, and then the other one is the existing one that we have up there, tuning.
Yes. Yes. And so, you know, I would suggest you try all of them so that you're familiar with them. And then for some of you may want to just stay with the Ishtar smile for a while. And if your Ishtar isn't smiling, then that's something we'll talk about in your one-on-one. And if you have time to do the 11 minute one, I would highly recommend that one also. Okay. But do the one that feels right for you with wherever you are.
So that must be the Ishtar blessing is the 11 minute
one. Yeah. Ishtar blessing is the 11 minute one. Yeah.
The smile is the quick 5 minute one.
Yes. Yes. And they're both beautiful.
Right.
So you have a little more reading this week, and it's really getting us back to, some of the fundamentals of meditation and mindfulness. I am going to ask that each week you just do one, practicing your intuition, opening to one thing from the self-acceptance project, seeing what shows up and reading it, and one thing from mindfulness for beginners. So that will be a total of four, right? We have 2 weeks. So that's four opportunities to practice your intuition and just see. How did that work? Did it talk to me or not? And greet that answer with also. Isn't that interesting? Did everybody put up their interest? Is that interesting little stickies around their house somewhere? No. Okay. If you haven't done it, try and do it. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? And did you find your object for your Ishtar? Okay. If you did not find an object for your Ishtar, because it is a little, you know, anyway, if your Ishtar, the color of your Ishtar is yellow, then just have something yellow near you. If it's pink, if it's purple, right? Find some way to give yourself a physical way of remembering your Ishtar during the day. Okay. So your technique to learn is the breath to soften and release. It's about 11 and a half minutes. It's in the tutorial here. It's under breath in tutorials. And I'm going to ask you to, just listen to the story of the thorn tree. And some of you know the story pretty well. So what I want you to do is to be ready with that story. If you've heard it for the first time, then this doesn't apply as much, but be ready to tell us your version of the thorn tree story. How would you tell it? When I tell it to you, what is actually going through your head, right? And then the last part, I'm asking you to listen to a video that's called 7 Techniques to Release Attachment. It's about 14 minutes. And I've actually given you, do you see this? 7 Techniques to Release Attachment. I made you a little outline of what the 7 techniques are. And Tonglen, the breath for opening and release, forgiveness, we will be working with during May. So this is all just kind of prelude, warming you up, getting you familiar with where we're going. Okay, so it's a 29:05. I'm complete. Do you have any questions?
I just wanted to follow up on what Kathleen and Kelsey and I think Mishka had said earlier. It's not really a question. It is a question. It's all a question. I didn't really find myself going, I wouldn't exactly say rabbit holes, which kind of implies maybe there's some direction to it. I think it was just like a series of gopher holes. And it's just like, you know, it's like Kelsey was saying, like, well, really, like, well, then what am I? Am I nothing? And I'm like, what's a feeling? What's a perception? And then it's like, okay, I'm comprised of air and energy and earth and a feeling versus it's just like, oh, help me. And it's like, I think maybe, you know, I said this year, I think I've become like conscious of my mortality more so than I thought I would this year, because I've been compressed in this weird pandemic vice thing that squeezed out all these things. And so, and yet does it even matter? And yet it's so important to me. Like, it's almost like the things that have been so uncomfortable this year, they are just, I realize on the one hand, they're just vastly important to me, but I don't want to have anything to do with them either. I want to be rid of that stuff. And yet this is not my, I'm not these thoughts. And yet, okay, then none of this makes any sense because I'm not any of these thoughts. So it all goes out the window. But then, and then the last thing I want to say is that, like, watching the feelings pass, you know, and I get that and stuff like that, but there are things that don't pass. They descend like, they're just a sensibility or just the just is loom. It just looms. And even like, and it just looms and it, you know, doesn't pass often. So it's not like I can sit there and go, oh boy, isn't that so freaking fascinating? And yet it's like, well, no, you're still there, aren't you? Or you're back. So anyway.
Well.
And to kind of just quickly verbalize, like, I thought the readings were like, it was like I say, I probably absorbed like 1% of them and they were really, really dense. And I did it all in one day and I highlighted them and I just exploded. So, but.
We love you, Steve. We love you. Yes. We love you. And Steve, you bring up really, really good points. But so let's just, oh. You are not your thoughts, but you have thoughts. You are not your emotions, but you have emotions. You are not your body, but you have a body. And we will work with this. We're not going to work with it yet, but we are going to work with this. But maybe that will help. Nobody's denying you. There are thoughts. There are thoughts out there. But you know you're not your thoughts because you can look at the thoughts. You can notice the thoughts. You know you're not your body because you go to sleep at night and you still have dreams. You still have other stuff going on. There's nothing, your body isn't moving at all, right? You know you're not your emotions because sometimes you're angry, sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad, sometimes you're, you know, you're just blissful. It's like, well, then you're not, you're whatever is experiencing those emotions. And that's where we're going, is to help you find that place, right? And that's where equanimity is. And that's the journey, Steve. I mean, Agnieszka, everybody, that's the journey. And these are the tools. We're giving you the tools to take the journey so you can find that place. Did that help, Steve, at all? Okay. All right. Agnieszka, did you have one thing you wanted to ask?
Yes, about the homework. Did you said to develop intuition randomly opening the books? Did you say which books? I missed.
Yeah, just the two: the radical acceptance project and Jon Kabat-Zinn's. But they're both just short little things.
Okay.
And there's so much richness in there, right? And so yeah, just practice opening it up and seeing if it relates, if it doesn't, because you're going to find that as your intuition grows, every time you open it, there's going to be something, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. All right, loves. With that. Yes, Brenda.
My internet is glitching really bad, so I don't know. Can you guys all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, because I cannot hear you, but you're all moving in weird positions. So, mm-hmm. But I have a real technical question, and that is referencing, this could sound really crazy and very Capricorn of me, but I have things like everywhere. I have two journals, and I have notes over here, and I have, and I want to get them all together. And you keep referencing a notebook. So is there a organizational system that you recommend?
Yes. You get a notebook, get a 3-ring binder, have a section for homework, a section for sadhana, a section for class notes, and then tuck your journal into the binder and it's all in one place.
Okay. It's kind of where
absolutely.
I was headed. And I didn't know if that was, if somebody else had come up with something else, but yeah, it's all disorganized. So
And in fact, you'll, depending on how detailed you want to get, you might want to have a tab for stories, because over the course of training, you're going to get quite a few of these stories. You might want to have a separate tab for your meditation techniques, where you will have, we're going to be learning lots of techniques. You're going to be learning the pranayamas. We've started with resurrection breath, three-part breath, right? You're learning breath for open and release, which isn't really a pranayama, but it's a breathing technique that is important. And then, so if you want to call it techniques, or you want to have a section for pranayamas or meditations, we will have all of those. And so I would recommend a binder. How big is, probably a 2-inch, 1.5 or 2-inch binder. 1.5 inch might be fine. And get a D ring, right? So that don't get a D ring, because then your papers will turn better. That's very controlling of me. Oh my God. Forget what I just said. Do whatever you want. And not just say that. That's a great question. Thank you. All right. All right, love. So I will see each one of you over the next 2 weeks for some one-on-one time. Okay. And otherwise, please enjoy this. Do that Ishta meditation. And it's like, I can't even tell you, because we're teaching, I'm doing them again. And I'm just like, it's just, you know, it's, especially Agnieszka, find the joy in those little meditations, right? And if you don't even have to sit in your seat to do them. Just do them so that you feel the joy of the technique. All right. With that, let's do a namaste. Okay. So find your seat. Bring your left hand up towards your center. Bring your right hand up and towards your center. And someday we'll talk about why left first before right. Then bring them together gently, gently. Some traditions say as if you're holding a lotus, a precious flower in between. So it's a gentle, soft. And now let's just bow to each other and we say namaste. 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 All right, loves. See you in 2 weeks. Have a great Easter, by the way, and resurrect yourself, your mind, your awareness. Lift it out of this earth plane. That's Easter.
My calendar says we're having one of the little mini sessions, the mini retreat things on the Saturday too. Is that right?
Yes.
That first weekend back? Okay.
Yes. Thank you for reminding me of that. Yes. We got a lot to cover. Okay. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.